for the Saudi royal family.
One more time and we'll escort you out.
Okay, I'm sorry. Please. I'm so sorry.
All right, welcome to The Good Liars today. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeBrom Stiefler, and we are The Good Liars.
And we got a lot going on today, so to quote Derek and Dale, let's get right to it. That's a movie that not a lot of people saw, The Supporters.
It was a movie.
It was a movie. Yeah. That's for sure. Before we get into what's going on today, we want to remind you all that you can support us by joining our paid tier on Substack. You'll be supporting us and helping us go to all the terrible, terrible places that we decide to go to. And we do it all for you, the viewer. I don't think we're doing it for ourselves at this point. Are we doing it for ourselves, Jerome?
I don't think so. I you know, for a little while, I thought we were trying to, but then I realized how much older and more tired I feel each time. And I realized I got to be doing this for something bigger than myself. So it must be all of you.
Very well said, DeBron. Thank you. Let's get into what's going on today. Just yesterday, Donald Trump, who is the president of the United States, former reality show host, he was found liable for sexual assault as well. He welcomed the Saudi Crown Prince MBS to the Oval Office, and there was the press was there, which is something that MBS is not really used to because of all the stuff that goes on in Saudi Arabia. He was asked a question, and Trump was also asked a question, and it got contentious. We want to play the video here.
Mr. President, is it appropriate, Mr. President, for your family to be doing business in Saudi Arabia while you're president? Is that a conflict of interest? And Your Royal Highness, the U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office. Why should Americans trust you?
And the same
to you, Mr.
President. Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News,
sir. You're with who? ABC News, sir. Fake news. One of the worst in the business. But I'll answer your question.
Thank you.
I have nothing to do with the family business. I have left, and when I've devoted 100% of my energy. What my family does is fine. They do business all over. They've done very little with Saudi Arabia, actually. I'm sure they could do a lot. And anything they've done has been very good. That's what we've done. We've built a tremendous business for a long time. I've been very successful. I decided to leave that success behind and make America very successful. And I've made America more successful by far than it ever was, and that it ever could have been, no matter who was president. There would be nobody bringing in $21 trillion, that I can tell you right now. As far as this gentleman is concerned, he's done a phenomenal job. You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen, but he knew nothing about it. And we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
Okay. A lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
You hadn't seen that.
No. I had avoided seeing it, knowing we were going to talk about it today, seeing some headlines this morning, and hadn't seen it. So, yeah, in typical Donald Trump fashion, fake news. I can't believe that that's a real thing. I mean, we're going on a decade of this guy just saying that.
Yeah.
And now in the presidency twice and just going fake news. And she just asked two questions about reality. So it doesn't matter where she's from. It doesn't matter. It's just saying fake news as if that's going to, avoid talking about what's happening. And it actually has worked so many times. It's just shocking to me that we're just still here. But regardless, he managed to talk about his personal businesses being successful and stepping away to make America great again. He always, like we talked about yesterday a little bit, he's got his personal shuffle machine and he just brought that one up. Okay.
I
don't think he said it, but not taking a presidential salary or whatever it is, even though he's enriched himself by $3 billion.
Right? Yeah. $3 billion. Yeah. At least with all the crypto stuff and deals with, he's got a couple deals in Saudi Arabia. I say he's saying that, like, the first term he was like, it's in a blind trust that is controlled by my sons and who I talk to all the time, and who
want nothing more than to get my approval and clearly are asking me what to do every day.
Daddy, please love me.
Yeah, daddy, please love me. So yeah, he says he's not. First of all, he says he's not doing a lot of business with Saudi Arabia. Then he says what he has done has been very good. And then he says they could do more. So he managed to turn the question into kind of like, yeah, we should be doing more business with Saudi Arabia. It's almost like when he hears something controversial, he like go he wants to like double down on it as opposed to run away from it. So maybe that's been working for him. I don't know.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this is Donald Trump, like, he has done business with Saudi Arabia. And I was thinking this morning, we were texting, and I was like texting about the LIV Golf that I went to in 2022. And this was held at Trump's golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey. Beautiful, beautiful golf course. I was debating whether or not to even go to this because I looked at the tickets online, and obviously it's at Trump's golf course. All these people are taking all this money to go there, and it created this huge rift with the PGA and all this stuff. And there was a protest that was happening there that was 9/11 families who were protesting the fact that they were having this golf tournament backed by Saudi Arabia at Trump's golf course. And a lot of them were Trump supporters who were disgusted by it. And I was like, well, I could go there, interview people. It would be good to go into the event. Maybe there's something to do there. But the tickets, they were like $180 or something. Right. And I just couldn't, you don't know what, like,
you don't know what you're going to get. What might happen if you go? It's a little trip involved. You're thinking, yeah, it might not be worth it.
It's not worth it. And also, like, there's also just the fact that you're like giving money there. So right. I was like really debating it. You were in Scotland, I believe, right?
I was at a wedding, at a friend's wedding, by the
way.
Were
you playing golf there as
Scotland.
Well? Did you play golf in Scotland?
Okay. I should have, you know, I should have done that. I had a friend who said they got these like 100-year-old golf clubs and just went and swung around in the grass in Scotland and felt like $1 million, I guess. So I should have, but I just don't know how to golf.
Well, at the last moment, after like all this debate and like even seeing if I knew somebody that worked there and all this stuff to like try and get in there, I decided to do what I should have done originally, which was look on StubHub. And the tickets were $1 on StubHub.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no one is going to this. No one is going to this. It's one. I've never seen anything for, well, you know, less than $10 on StubHub.
Right. So what do you think? Incredible. You could talk more about your experience there going in, but why were they so cheap? And there's so much money in LIV Golf.
Well, maybe this will, maybe I could pull something up and you could read it. And that might, it'll be a little teaser for what's to
you
come.
Want to read it?
I could read it. I could read this one. Okay. At LIV Golf event, thin crowds and a tense start. The controversy over the new golf series, which is backed by Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund, isn't going away. But on the course, fans enjoyed the easygoing camaraderie among players. And then here it says, Phil Mickelson stepped back after a heckler interrupted his opening tee shot on Friday. This is just, there's really no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that.
There's not, no matter how controversial you find the golf to be, like, let the sport happen. Let the purity of the sport come through, shine through. So to that heckler, whomever they are, hope you're watching. Put a lid on it next time.
I actually have a video of said heckler.
Oh, my word.
And look, I'll give the devil his due. He's a good-looking guy. I mean, he's a really good-looking
guy.
Don't agree with what he did.
Well, I'm excited about
it. I mean, you be the judge of that. You be the
judge of myself here,
And another spoiler, he had a little, it seemed like he had a really guilty conscience because he gave a real heartfelt apology at the end of it. Anyway, here's the video of said heckler. I didn't catch his name, but let's check this out.
All right, behind me right there is Phil Mickelson, the face of this new golf league being bankrolled by the Saudi government. $100 million. That's all it took for him to come here. And I guess forget about that journalist that was chopped up by the Saudi government. Hey, Phil, give us a wave. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah, give me a look. Yes, thumbs up. Thank you. All right.
Last hour, Phil Mickelson teed off here at the 16th hole just behind me. Here's what happened.
Do it for the Saudi royal family.
One more time and we'll escort you out.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I am sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
So, look, he apologized. You know, you can't really
I feel
be
like
mad.
You said, I feel like you told no lies there. You said the guy was, well, you said he's really good looking. So
yeah. On second thought, after getting a look, I was like, yeah, he looks tired and old.
But he did give a really heartfelt apology several times. Triple, quadruple down on the apology. So you had to appreciate that. Do you think he regretted it?
No, I don't think he did. No regrets.
And so
should we drop that the bit
okay, here.
We'll
drop
the bit. Okay.
Dropping the bit. So you said it took $100 million for him to show up. And that was the price of the Saudis to lure other big name players to their tour, right? It was like a different price kind of for each player, but they were trying to lure really top names over there, and they did, and then the golf leagues now have to work together, right? They kind of have a mutual partnership where they probably try not to steal each other's dates and everything.
I think that's what's going on. I really don't know the ins and outs of the deal. I know it was announced last year, the year before.
But now they're
working together, and what was interesting about that was that happened, and then you know the guy gave a stern warning. And then I was just there at the golf tournament for the rest of the day. Like they didn't chop you up.
They didn't do anything.
They didn't chop me up. They didn't chop me up. I was able to like watch and commentate on it.
So you know what they call this, right? What LIV Golf is doing? It's a term that people are using.
I'll let you say it, but yes.
Well, sports washing, right?
Yes.
Sports washing. It's kind of scrubbing the image clean of Saudi Arabia, or I guess other nations kind of participate too. But it's a way of kind of making people not associate the nation with some of the more dark things, controversial things, and just think about golf now, killing journalists or 9/11 or the things such as the journalists. Asked, and you saw the protest of 9/11 families. Well, if they hold enough golf tournaments, maybe people will start to think of them as a country loves golf. And you have talked about how they do huge wrestling shows there. So this has been something they've been at for a long time.
WrestleMania now they're doing something is rumored to be in Saudi Arabia in 2026, I believe.
What is?
Which is wild. WrestleMania. WrestleMania. The biggest the biggest show of the year, the granddaddy of them all.
That's very exciting. You're very excited. I'm sure you'll go there. I'm sure you'll
I'm not gonna go there. I am worried to go there. And so I wanna say they have the comedy festival, right?
Oh, right, of course. Yeah. So how could I even forget
the comedy festival? We were not invited to.
No, we were not.
You know, we get invited to certain comedy festivals every once in a while. This was one of them. We didn't even like even get to have the moral dilemma of like, do we take this money knowing we're gonna die or do we
that's they say pressure is a privilege. That would have been a privilege to have
that would have been a privilege.
What I was getting at was Saudi Arabia has this sports washing thing that they do, right? They want to scrub their image clean, but now they're doing president washing. He's appearing with Donald Trump and being brought to the White House as an honored guest. Isn't that the natural like next progression of this? It's like putting MBS on this stage to where he's this welcomed guest to the White House. The sports washing is working, and now he is being treated as an ally and a figure to be respected by the United States. And the president himself is putting him out there and scolding journalists who ask him questions. So I kind of think you'd have to say this has all been working very well. And I think he's there under the auspices. I'm not sure if I'm using that correctly.
Probably.
Of a deal for a bunch of F-16 fighter jets, right?
Right.
So now we're militarily arming them. So it has worked. So I just want to give a round of applause to MBS. Saudi royal family.
President washing. There's got to be, is it politics washing? I don't know. There's got to be some other name for that.
Well, I feel like you do the sports washing to eventually do the politics washing or the president washing. Like,
right.
That's the best thing you can get, is to be paraded around by the world leader as an honored guest and an equal. And he's gotten
there. Right.
He's doing that. It's happening. So I don't know. That's kind of the way I see it.
Well, there is something interesting, because I mean, the journalist was just asking a question and doing the job of a journalist. Wasn't necessarily a heckle. But I realized that I had this thing that I didn't share. This is from the same New York Times article.
You could reach out and be like to the journalist and be like, I heckled them too. I heckled them too.
Or, yeah.
I said, do it for the Saudi royal family. You asked a question based in reality and nobody liked either of us.
I would say both of the things were based in reality though. What he was playing for was the Saudi royal family. That's what he was doing. But this is from the New York Times. Justice Mickelson, who reportedly received an upfront $200 million. So I guess I totally underguessed number in the moment, to join the insurgent tour. Sorry, this is so small. Was set to begin to swing a fan 15 yards, which maybe that's true, to his right, said, do it for the Saudi royal family. That was me. And Mickelson backed away from the shot, blah, blah, blah. Security approached the fan and told him he would be removed from the grounds if there was another outburst. That was true, but doesn't mention the apology. That's okay. Appearing unnerved, Mickelson returned to his stance and finally struck the ball, which sailed 60 feet offline and landed in a cavernous bunker. Stomping off the tee and muttering to his caddy, Mickelson would begin the day with a bogey. So, not great under pressure. You know what I mean? Obviously.
Yeah, especially given your apology. And I thought you smoothed it over very well.
In his defense, the apology came after he hit the ball 60 yards,
right,
you know, out offline and into the bunker. So I apologize enough. I'm not going to apologize again. I felt like I apologized enough, and they were about as heartfelt as you can get an apology.
Mm-hmm. You called me in tears afterwards.
I was like, I messed so up. I don't know what I was
I messed up. I came here. They were nice enough to sell me $1 ticket, and I totally betrayed their trust.
That was the funniest Onion headline in Trump's first term. It was like Trump, like with his head in a pillow, like banging the pillow. And it's like Trump heard in the White House yelling, why can I never say the right thing? I think he's got this guilty conscience.
If he ever cared so about bad.
People are upset with me. So right before this moment with Phil, and we're on a first name basis, he gave me a look, gave me a nod. And I want to say how few people there were there. Like, I wandered up there 5 minutes before he was going to tee off. And I think at, like, you know, a big event like the Masters or even just a normal PGA Tour event, like, people wait to see certain people. And I think at the LIV, what they do is they all tee off at the same time, which doesn't happen usually. They tee off in like different holes at the same time.
LIV is really revolutionizing the sport. Great golf league.
It really is. It's like extreme. It's like Happy Gilmore too. Extreme. But
we
before
talk
he
a lot about Happy Gilmore too.
we could do a whole
movie
thing on that.
Yeah.
It was a movie. Before it, there was like a lot of pageantry. There also at the LIV Golf, there was like a DeLorean, like from Back to the Future there for some reason. I have no idea why. So Back to the Future DeLorean, like with the flux capacitor and all the stuff inside of it. And
they just have like a PR company or whatever. And they're like, we got this thing. And they're like, is that a big thing? And they're like, yeah. And they're like,
sure.
Put it there.
Yeah.
I don't care how much it costs.
Well, the thing is, it costs $20 million. Well, no,
yeah, that's fine.
No, it should be the original one. Well, that's it. We have to spare no expense. But before the tee off, when everyone was teeing off at the same time, they had skydivers come down with the American flag. And I want to play a video. This was at the Trump Bedminster. Like, you would think the last thing you would see from Donald Trump, because he says he wants to make America great again. He says he loves this country so much. The last thing you'd see from him would be a desecration of the flag, disrespect to the flag. So obviously, yeah. And no apology was going to make this better. What I witnessed there, this travesty.
Nothing more American than jumping out of a plane with an American flag strapped to you. Let's make sure the flag doesn't touch the ground here at the Trump Golf Course. That would be a desecration of the flag. See, he's landing. He's going to land. Flag's on the ground. American flag's on the ground. Okay. It's desecration of the flag here at the Trump Golf Course. That's really fucked up. They are really don't give a fuck about our troops.
You could tell they don't care about the troops because of the flag.
Because of the flag.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But it actually is. Actually, I know that in the video, maybe you were exaggerating your feelings a little bit on the treatment of the flag. Maybe. I don't know.
No.
No. No. But it is a weird thing. It is a little bit of a weird thing to do. You know, it's just going to slam against the ground, and then probably the guy is a little out of view there, but he's probably got to, you know, step and climb over it to untangle himself and get out. Why?
I talked to him after, actually.
Oh, really? The guy.
He like came by. Yeah.
And
I don't remember. I just remember being like, "You just jump out of the thing."
Yeah.
He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Cool."
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I just been, it's a little bit of a jumping around the timeline. That was before I talked to Phil. So people didn't like me.
And let me ask something on a little more somber of a note. Not the desecration, not that desecrating the flag is not somber. But the 9/11 families, did you see what was going on there? Did you talk to anybody? What was happening with the counter demonstration, I guess?
It was like a mile or two away, like near the like the busiest intersection there, kind of at a park, I believe. And they had set up like a press conference, and people, I think I talked to one or two people. I think it ended up in that video that we were going to do for HBO, but it didn't, they didn't like it.
Right.
I talked to a few of them, and yeah, I mean, everyone kind of said the same thing. They were like, we can't believe that the former president would do this, and the golfers are picking like profit over morals.
What do you think they're thinking now?
I don't know. I mean, the ABC News reporter asked the question about that, and didn't get a great answer.
She didn't get a great answer. Also. Yeah. I know that Jamal Khashoggi's, wife was very dismayed at MBS being, shown around the White House with such high regard. So this must be a really bizarre thing in a matter of a short time to kind of see the total switch here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not at all surprising from Donald Trump, who is also like cozying up to people like Putin.
Just imagine Donald Trump cozying up to you, like, to watch.
Oh, let's get a blanket. You got some fresh cocoa.
That's what I always think. Watch it. This is cozying up. And I think, is that what
let's
Donald
watch
Trump
me.
Does?
Let's put, is there, put another log on the fire.
Right.
And let's watch myself on Fox News.
And you breathe on your neck or whatever he does when he cozies
up. I like
up.
That. I've got one more video here. I don't even know if we put this out. I don't even know if we put this out.
We are now.
We are now, I guess. So this is, I have no idea who this golfer was. I don't really follow golf, but there was a, whatever hole I was at, there was a golfer going for a putt. And I was like, oh, this is an opportunity. I'm right on the green. I could do a little play-by-play here.
We're on 9 here, and he is working on his approach shot. And I'm sure right now he's probably thinking about the journalist for the Washington Post who was murdered by the very government that is paying his paycheck. Let's see if he can sink this putt. Okay, let's see. I think that's going to be a little short. And, you could tell at the last moment the thought of dismembering a journalist by the government that's paying his paycheck crossed his mind because it went a little bit left there.
Very dark stuff. Very dark
very
stuff.
Respectful of you to whisper that way so as not to interrupt people again.
Yes. My lack of golf knowledge, I think.
So you don't follow golf?
My dad liked golf. I'd watch it a little bit. I've played it a few times and I think it's fine. I'm just
so bad
at it.
A golf cart?
Do I not? Do I own one?
That's the easiest way to follow golf.
It
takes place over a large area.
You know, in Florida, that's a big thing, golf carts.
Yes.
People have those. Yeah. It used to be like
definitely
rich kids would have like golf carts. They go around their rich communities. But now it's like going to become like a middle class thing where people just have them in neighborhoods, just like have golf carts go around.
It kind of makes sense because they're like communities with like pools and golf courses that are attached to neighborhoods, right? You don't want to be in your car all the time. You just kind of zip around. I guess that sounds cool. It's very foreign to New Yorkers.
Can I tell an embarrassing story?
Yeah.
About myself?
Yeah.
So I worked at my old high school in college over the summer, like painting the school, painting all the classrooms and stuff. And we'd be going around on golf carts. And one morning there was like something that we really had to do fast. Because there was like a storm coming or something. And I had to like run back and get this piece of equipment at the shed, whatever. And I got the golf cart and I put it in reverse, like, and floored it. And like, it spun around and nailed one of the teacher's cars.
Whoa.
And just, it was just like, and then I just started like cursing. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, the car, like, you could still drive it, but they had to, like, take it in, and the school's insurance was going to pay for it, all this stuff.
It'd be wild if you couldn't even drive the car after.
And there was this guy who was, like, working. He was, like, a contractor there. And he used to be, like, a baseball player, and he was a born-again Christian. And he would always just, like, come in and be like, man, I just love the Lord so much, and I just hope you find God. And he was like kind of like preaching to me.
Yeah.
But he was like he used to be a baseball player, and you could tell he like still had his like jock, like, I'm going to rib people all the time. And so like, we're like eating lunch, and he's like, well, I'm eating lunch here with you guys, and I know I got Mario Andretti right over here. I'm just kidding with you. I love you. The Lord loves you. Don't worry about it. And then he would keep saying things that were like kind of funny digs at me, but like, he would like, just be like, but I love the Lord, and I'm not trying to like get under your skin.
He would paint over it with the Lord comment.
Yeah, man,
that's funny. So he found religion, but he still had that mentality of, I got to rib this guy, and he managed to combine them seamlessly.
He managed to combine, his like preaching and trying to convert people, his crusade, if you will.
Well, I have a short story too. Myself and another kid in high school, I think we were probably 14 or 15. We had a friend who had recently gotten her license, had her car, and we were like, can we just drive it around the parking lot? And we thought this would be really fun, and we would drive it real slow, and it would just be really fun. Like, come on. It's after school. There's barely any cars in here. Just let us like drive the car around a little bit. My friend gets in the driver's seat. I get in the passenger seat. I'm like, all right, let's just do it real slow. This will be kind of fun. He just plows directly into the fence in front. He panics. He floors it right into the fence. And so I get out and I put my hands on my head, like, what have you done? And the fence just slowly, 50 feet of fence, falls over.
But not on the car. Just like
the other direction. And I've got my hands on my head, and I'm looking around like, what have you done? Why did you do that? Well, you know, like... And then my next thought is like, I wonder if anybody saw, like, how can we lift the fence back up? And, you know, like, you know, how do we fix this or whatever? And the entire football team has been practicing on the field, has stopped practice, and is just watching me go, oh no. So there was no getting away with that one.
The football team, you know, they'll razz you good. They'll call you some homophobic slurs for sure for doing something like that.
Yeah, well, that was kind of
or for talking in math class or whatever. They'll have whatever some things to say.
Yeah, they'll gang up on you a little
bit. Well, I do. So what happened with the fence? It's a little bit of a cliffhanger. Did you have to pay for it? Did you put it back up?
No, it was
you ran away.
I think my friend who was driving, this is a little sad. I'll just say it. I think he convinced. What's that?
Well,
I think
I don't know
whoever's car it was to be like, because it was just such an old crappy car said something like, can you just say that you lost control or something like that? And I was like, I'm not a part of this.
I'm not being, yeah, that's smart.
I wasn't smart. Driving.
Insurance fraud or whatever. Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly how it panned out, because I kind of was able to extricate myself a little from that. But
can I give you some advice? This is probably a little too late for this advice. Yeah. But I found myself in situations where, like, I'm getting in trouble for something. Just say you're sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I am sorry. I'm very sorry.
Just say, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
But an apology, you know, it goes along.
That wasn't really my business to tell the two of them how to sort it out exactly. I was going to be sitting in the passenger seat regardless. So it felt that I could not tell them how to work this one out.
And to relate this to Donald Trump, we find ourselves, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to fucking do that. So DeVram, I think this is a great place to end, because you talked about how you were, you know, part of a crime back in high school. And
as did you, I believe.
What, running into, it wasn't a crime.
It's not a crime. What was I was in the passenger seat of someone who did something very similar to what you did.
Insurance fraud.
No, I don't know that insurance was involved.
Okay. I hope Trump's DOJ looks into this, is all I'm saying. If they knock on my door, I am rolling over for them on you. Just kidding, DeRama. I wouldn't do that. And I hope you wouldn't do that to me, would you?
Yeah, there's nothing to roll over on, but you do you. You look after yourself.
No. I want us to have a pact.
I want you to look after yourself.
Pinkies were?
Yeah.
See?
Got it.
Great. Now we've got something, just like Trump has his dance, we have something where we're miming something there for people with a sick mind. Anyway, so that does it for this episode of The Good Liars today. DeVram, any words of wisdom before we get out of here without repeating an old one?
Without repeating an old one, why do you throw that on the end?
I think it's a little nudge you need now.
Oh, my word. Don't be afraid to get a new bottle of honey, okay? You're gonna start digging into the bottom of the old one when you need to, because you
and
buy
it's all crystally and hard.
All crystally, and then at some point, you cut open that bottle of honey, and you dump it into a Tupperware, because that you can get to more easily. But then if you get too much, you can't get it off the spoon. You can't get it off the spoon into your yogurt in the first place. So it creates like a whole mess of unsettling situations with honey. Just get the new bottle of honey. Don't advocate wasting, but in this case, just get the new bottle.
Get the new honey. That is a good way to be. Like a bee who makes the honey. All right, that's it. Sorry.
Sorry, guys.
See you next time. Good Liars today. Bye.